You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. In the first segment, oh man, we talk about a lot. Floyd Mayweather bringing that money team, the cash squad. I don't know who's going to have the quit crew all the way out to England. He wants to buy a soccer team. He has no idea what he's talking about, but he wants to buy Newcastle. We also talk about Ronaldinho using illegal paperwork to get into a country he didn't even need paperwork get into. What? There's something more to this story.
What an oversight. Yeah. And in the second segment, we are joined by Rodney Wallace, MLS Cup champion Rodney Wallace with the Portland Timbers, Costa Rican international, former NYCFC player as well. We talk about just playing the league, winning MLS Cup, getting beer thrown at you, and we talk about CBD. So there's a lot to digest.
A lot happening.
So all this and more today on the
Cooligans. My lad troops back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll, blood.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah! Okay.
Huh?
All right, if you thought we weren't serious.
Okay. That's my coronavirus test right there. I'm good.
Pass with flying colors. Okay, cool. I'm glad. I'm sure that's comforting to everyone watching.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little worried about the disease before I tuned into the Cooligans.
Are the Cooligans good? I know grandma just died, but I said, are the Cooligans good?
Okay, we must protect them at all costs.
Okay. We are important to this whole culture thing. What happens if we go?
Hello, everyone.
What you gonna listen to?
Yes, this is not a health checkup show. It's a soccer show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we're your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television
that ever did exist.
That ever did exist.
And it's not just that.
Okay.
It's the most coronavirus free. The other shows, coronavirus.
They have trace amounts at the very least of coronavirus.
You know what I mean? Like a suspicion. Like if there was a dog that could sniff out coronavirus and hang out by the airport, is what I'm saying. Like,
he'll tell the owner, like, hey, look, I'm not sure what's here, but something's here.
I don't want to bark and set a lot of people off, but something's happening over here. Oh, we're also the gulliest show.
Hello. That's right. What's more gully than accusing other shows of having to do with coronavirus?
That's right. Don't listen to them, dude. Don't watch them. You're going to get it.
It's transmittable through your 60-inch screen television. Right.
Don't let the brightness of that screen touch your face. They said not to touch your face.
The blue light will give it. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
It's not going to get smarter than this. This is as dumb as we are the whole time.
Too many things to discuss today. Obviously, over the weekend, the MLS games, the Italy getting shut down.
They shut the whole thing down.
Oh my God. What happened to the pizza industry in Italy, bro? Are you worried, Alexis?
I mean, they might fall from second best to New York to now third or fourth.
This is terrible.
I mean, what a shocking slide to go from silver to potentially bronze. It's a real shame.
So and that's kind of the big shocker, because we were talking
how bad pizza is in Italy, right? Because people think it's where it's from, and yeah, that's what you're going to talk about,
yeah,
right?
Of course, obviously. Yeah. Very strong opinions on Italian pizza. No, but a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the in China, the people that were quarantined because of the coronavirus, mm-hmm. and they had to be like stuck at home. And we made a whole plea to Fubo and saying like, hey, we got to get Fubo in China because everybody's stuck at home and this is a perfect opportunity to watch.
It's marketing.
But right. Now we got to move Fubo over to Italy.
Hey, it's the cool again, eh? No, yes. That's really all we got.
Yeah, they would love that.
Yeah, yeah. Formaggi. That means cheese. I'm kind of at the end of my knowledge there.
So, but this is a big shock because Serie A is shutting down, right? To my knowledge, right? They are.
Well, they played a couple games behind closed doors in Northern Italy, but now the whole country, somebody went like, poof, you know, what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's how you shut down a country, but like, you know, it's the old switch. Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently the whole country's on lockdown right now. So it's like martial law, dude.
Yeah, so that's the wild thing. Even the games that were, you know, just with no supporters, there was the Juventus. I forgot who Juventus played, but there's that video of Cristiano Ronaldo
pretending to high five everyone.
Yeah, he's walking off the bus and he's like high fiving no one or whatever. Yeah. But so there is this like, it's just a strange thing to see in sports, but to see it in soccer. So the interesting thing with Italy is that the Serie A games are going to be canceled or at least postponed or whatever. But the Champions League games that are happening in Italy are still going, happening. Baby.
No, I mean, we're shutting it down, but only for the stuff we don't want. You know what I mean? Champions League still popping. And everyone's talking about like a big conspiracy theory that they waited to shut Serie A down until after Juventus already took the 1-point lead in the table.
Oh, just in case.
So they're like, all right, look, if we call it here and we say, okay, you're the winners, at least it's Juventus, right?
what a weird conspiracy. They've won like 7 times in a row.
Oh, I don't know. The team that paid the officials. All of a sudden, you're worried that there might be problems in the future. It's going to stick with you for a while, boys.
They were punished for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They got sent to Serie B, right?
I mean, people got in trouble. People got fired. But still, I mean, never goes away, you know? You don't come home from stabbing someone. Everyone's like, he's good. Let him around the knife.
We gave him a little slap on the wrist. He learned his lesson.
He basically was in a dorm for 6 months. Everything's fine.
So it's a thing that people are now asking, could it happen in the U.S.? Could it happen in Major League Soccer? Will the XFL be shut down?
You know? The important questions. Major League Baseball already looks like it's been shut down from the attendance.
I'm a little worried that it could happen here. I mean, you know, the MLS games are only what, this will be their third week, but I don't know if it's the country's a lot bigger than, you know, than Italy, or obviously, so there isn't like that concentrated like similar concern of you know, the middle of the country. People are not touching each other, not talking to each other. They're very religious. They're not they're waiting till
Right, they say howdy and they hold their hats. They don't even shake hands. Right? Is that what y'all do?
That's how it works out there.
It's hard to shake hands when you're both on horses, you know? Can't get that close.
You know, I went horseback riding when I was in Costa Rica.
All right, Jesus. Keep some of your information personal. Oh, you actual horse? Okay, never mind. I was like, wow. Thank God I did not stick around the weekend.
I went horseback riding. And so I went with my girlfriend and also, like, obviously there was like a, I don't know what you would call him, the guy leading us.
Your Sherpa. Your guide?
The guide, yes. Yeah. I don't know if he's on, because he's on a horse, there's a specific name.
Buckaroo?
Very nice man.
Yeah.
But then he was like, hey, get close to each other so you can kiss. So you have to, not the horses, us,
yeah.
Right?
So, what exactly? Why am I holding this camera?
But he was like, move the, like, guide the horses next to each other so you can take a photo kissing.
Uh-huh.
Very difficult to get close to another horse.
Oh, guiding a massive animal? Yeah. Very difficult.
So, good point. That's what I'm saying. Alexis, you know your stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. Yeah, when it comes to equestrian, I don't know, what do you call a horse?
Equestrian.
Equestrian.
Yes, an aquarium.
I was that close. So, put the two cougars together so you can stick your head out the window and kiss.
Yeah, that would be entertaining too. Yeah, a little challenging as well.
Guys, I was what, maybe 16 when I saw the first horse ever that didn't have a cop on it, okay? Give me a little bit. We really didn't have riding classes where I'm from.
Speaking of Cooper, Cooper got was a big hit on the internet.
It went wild. People made an ad for it.
An ad for it. Yeah, shout out to it was Benchwarmers.
Yeah, Benchwarmers, the guy, killing
Ricky.
It.
made an ad for
the app. He actually made a logo and everything.
And everything, yeah, it's just great.
Yeah, it's so dope.
So, a lot to look forward to when it comes to, you know, future business ventures for the Cooligans.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the show and we say something stupid, and by we I mean me, feel free to Photoshop it. Let's see what this looks like.
It's just like Alexis's imagination,
right?
You know,
yeah, yeah.
Visually, like,
look, all the synapses don't fire, okay? But sometimes that means genius comes out when it's translated by Christian. Okay? Okay, so let's see what that looks like.
Okay, we have to announce this very quickly. We will be going to Rhode Island for the next Project Goal event.
That's right, we're doing it again, baby.
Okay, everybody was expecting it and waiting for it. No, but we had a great time last year for Project Goal. If you do not know, it is an organization in Rhode Island that is basically like an after school program and an after school soccer education program,
right,
for underserved kids, and it's
kids from underserved communities.
Underserved kids.
Does that still count?
Yeah, that's the kids.
I don't think that's right. It sounds like kids who didn't get enough lunch. Oh, I got underserved here.
Correct. I think they're both accurate. But no, we will be emceeing the event again this year.
And it's a fundraiser as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, so. it's a really good organization. Great people that run it. It is, again, it is free for the kids. So that's why they are raising money. It's in Rhode Island, Friday, March 27th. And it's in East Providence, Rhode Island at, I'm going to butcher the name, Wenamoisett Country Club. So go to projectgoal.org for more information.
Wenamoisett loves a woman.
Yep, that's what it's all. That's where it came from.
Yeah. That's my singing voice, by the way. That was me trying.
Okay, so let's get into some news that is not as positive.
You know, maybe if you listen to us to hear about what's the most recent crime committed by a former player, then yeah, this is it.
Yes.
Ronaldinho getting arrested at the border. Detained. He got sent to a jail and the handcuffs were put on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to get technical here.
Yeah, he's not in a, you know, in a good position right now.
Yeah,
Let's leave it at that. You're seeing Ronaldinho on the screen now.
His brother behind him. Apparently they were using fake Paraguayan passports to get into Paraguay. If you're gonna use a fake Paraguayan passport, don't go into Paraguay where they know what that document looks like. That's my first hint.
And also, they 100% know that you're not Paraguayan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're Ronaldinho, right?
You're a very famous person. Coming to America, no one knows who you are. We didn't even know Paraguay had passports, all right?
Yeah, in America, they'd be like, oh, who is this Puerto Rican guy, I guess? Yeah. I don't know.
Wow, look at this. We got a fancy Mexican trying to get in here.
Yes, that's what Brazilians are called.
Yeah.
Fancy Mexicans.
Yeah, I mean, to the TSA agents, probably. You would have been fine, man.
So, look, if obviously Ronaldinho, legendary player, obviously played for Brazil, played for Barcelona. Everyone's a fan of him. If you were
the greatest soccer commercials, that Joga Bonito,
exactly.
You the pick, best soccer highlight compilations ever.
Yeah. If you played a FIFA anywhere from like 2001 to 2000, like, you know, 15, you always pick this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the Jordan or the Kobe of his generation.
The skills on the ball.
It's ridiculous.
For me, Ronaldinho was like, I had never seen anyone do that with a soccer ball.
Video games weren't advanced enough to capture how good he was. Like, it was the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you could do stuff in a video game you couldn't do in real life with a player. This was the opposite.
The motion capture people at EA were like, yo, chill, you're doing too much, because our computers can't even capture all that.
There was like a guy in that like sort of black
bubbles.
With the ping pong balls on him. And he's like, I don't know, put this thing on a cat, okay? I can't do the thing that guy can do, okay? It's ridiculous.
Look, he was the last couple of years, Ronaldinho's been much more of an ambassador to the game. He's like on, you know, either doing commercials. He actually did go back to Brazil to play for not Grêmio or Atlético Mineiro or something. He went back to like his like or Corinthians, whatever, one of his like childhood clubs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He did that for a couple of years after
you've royally upset some Brazilians by not knowing this. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
One of those clubs.
One of these little Brazilian clubs.
You know how nice you are to each other.
Yeah, right. Everyone gets along.
But the last couple of years, he's been doing much more like, charity events, and he's been more, public appearances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so
he's considered, I think his like official title is he's an ambassador for both Brazil, the country, and Barcelona, the club.
Yeah. So now that he is in this hot water. Right. So
right.
So this is the strange thing. He was trying to go into Paraguay for some charity event that he was going to be at.
Supposedly.
Right.
Allegedly.
So he's trying to get him with a fake passport. The only thing that's really odd is that Paraguay and Brazil have some sort of agreement that Brazilian citizens do not need a passport to go into Paraguay.
So that's like a cop pulls you over because your taillight's out and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me move the cocaine in the trunk to access this taillight and fix it. Why is your hand on your gun? You know? You didn't even need the passport, bro.
That's what makes this even more ridiculous. He got a fake passport. He got illegal documents to go to a place he did not need to. It's like
using a fake ID at McDonald's. Like, bro, ain't nobody stopping you.
Okay. It's like paying a coyote to get a MetroCard, you know?
Coyote being the people that transfer you over the border.
Yes, exactly.
Not an actual coyote. People are like, yo, the subway's lit.
It gets pretty crazy.
Couple
out there.
Coyotes out there.
So
what happened to you on this horse? You learned so much.
I'm a changed man. So now he's in jail. He is detained.
Supposedly. So this is a rumor.
This is a gossip section of the Cooligan.
Okay. We're spilling a little bit of mate. We're spilling all the mate. Apparently, he's in a jail where narcotraficantes, like massive drug dealers, cartel guys, and political criminals are being held. Which is, by the way, why you put those two together?
No, they don't need.
they're just getting an opportunity to communicate a bit more. I feel like the problem is the politicians are working with the narcotraficantes.
It's no longer a prison. It's more of a conference room.
Yeah. Guys, you're going to jail. Also, there's a couple notebooks and a whiteboard. You guys want to just talk about whatever you want.
Anybody need some tea? Maybe coffee? Marshmallows?
You good? We want to keep you guys awake. Anybody? Caffeine? Anything? What's going on out there in Paraguay? So he's been put in there, and now they're saying that there's additional charges, which is why he's still being held.
Yeah.
But they haven't wanted this to get into the media. Again, these are all rumors. We can't substantiate anything we ever say on the show, including this.
Please put a disclaimer, Fubo.
Yeah. I mean, you know what you're watching. I'm wearing a windbreaker. Since when do you take advice from a guy with a windbreaker on? Never. It's not a good idea.
Oh, I thought you were a lawyer. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, I was wearing my Sunday best. So, what you gonna call it? Apparently, there's some type of money laundering that's also attached to this.
Okay.
And people have been saying, there's been rumors about his brother not being on the up and up for a long time. And apparently, his brother was the one who got him this paperwork. His brother's like, I don't know if he's a money handler for him or like an assistant.
Yeah.
Or kind of just like the guy who handles stuff for him. Because he's here to take pictures. He smiles. A lot of peace signs.
The only good news is that it's been reported that in the Paraguayan jail that he is staying at, there's going to be a futsal tournament pretty soon. So I think time to shine.
So the biggest politician and the most important narcotraficante in there, I think they're going to pick him first. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
He might be a ringer.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some of his game tape. I have a good feeling about it.
I'm not sure we should pick him first. Like, I'm going to kill you in the shower. We're going to pick him first.
All right. We'll be back with more after this, everybody.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in with a word for one of our sponsors, us and you.
Yes, Gully Squad.
Hey, what's up, Gully Squad?
Yo, what's good? You looking good, Gully Squad.
Damn, Gully Squad. I hope you come back this way home so I can see you again.
Okay, I'm definitely catcalling Gully Squad.
Yeah. No, but we absolutely love you guys. And again, once again, you guys are the linchpin of this entire organization.
Yeah.
Okay, this crime family that we've created called the Cooligans. Now, you guys are the best. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to go on these trips and do the things that we do and get that additional content that we give you, Gully Squad.
Correct. So if you'd like to support the show, get exclusive content, and just just, you know, feel good about yourself doing something great for the
hang out in the Slack channel. Talk to your new friends.
Exactly. You got friends now. You didn't have friends before.
No, now you got them. In fact, you also got a fantasy league where we're giving away $200.
That's right. We're giving away $200.
$200.
Not $200.
No. Why you need all those extra letters for $200?
So all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button, and all your dreams will come true.
We'll send you a pin, we'll hang out, we'll high five, we hug sometimes. It's not uncomfortable. It's fun.
Yes, yeah, it was a misunderstanding that
yeah, Christian doesn't like it, but I do it anyway.
So make sure you go to soccercooligans.com and join Gully Squad. We are the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
And now we're the funniest soccer television show you've ever watched.
Okay. All right.
And not just that. Just so happens that we the gulliest. Yeah, baby. How about that? A little throwback.
Look, memories.
That was 6 months ago.
6 months ago.
Today.
You know, this television show began. A new era
in television. Yeah. For yeah. us, it's just old hat. But for everyone else.
Everybody else is
the
like,
game done changed, folks.
Everybody watching is like, man, they really, this is monumental.
No, I'm surprised that we're not, all, I don't know, a national holiday? Maybe? 6 months?
Okay, just get rid of President's Day. Make it cool. Yeah, hey, let's do it.
Welcome to the gulliest national holiday of all time.
Yes, so more to get to. Obviously, more news, more drama in European soccer this time. We have to talk about Eric Dier.
Yeah, that's right. Going right in the stand.
Okay, doing a Ron Artest.
Yeah.
A little Jermaine O'Neal. Okay. Malice at the Palace.
Little thriller at White Hart Lane. I don't know what.
Yes, Eric Dier, you're seeing it on your screen now. If you haven't seen this video, where you been? Because Eric Dier jumped into the stands after their recent match.
Apparently his brother and his family.
Yeah.
His brother got punched, supposedly, and they were being racially abused.
So there's a lot of speculation. I don't know.
I thought he was white. Okay. I mean, what's happening out there? Y'all are separating by whites?
Well, wow. What kind of segregation is going on in England, bro?
What kind of old-timey racism y'all got going on out there?
Are you doing something like, is it religious now? Is it Catholic, Protestant? Or right? What's going on?
Y'all got too much going on out there. Y'all got so much hate.
No, man. So, obviously, it's pretty wild to see a player run into the stands at the game ended, and
it was his own fans. It wasn't the away fans.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, there was so much speculation because people did think that it was they were racially abusing a player on Tottenham at first. That's
and
what
the brother said something.
Yeah, that's and the brother was defending or whatever.
Right,
and then it became they were saying negative things about Eric Dier, and right. Then his brother defended him, and so then Eric Dier runs into this.
We don't know what happened.
Yeah,
all we know is Eric Dier had enough.
Yes, Eric
when
Dier,
he hear the final whistle blow, he's like, "It's time for a little injury time." You know what I mean? He's about to mush some dude.
So he, So just the idea of a Premier League player running into the stand and basically being like, "Yo, I'm about to throw some hands."
Yeah.
And he was, and on video you see him saying, "That's my brother. That's my brother." You know, all right, whoa, Eric.
Damn. We heard you the first time. But like the fans are holding him back. And it's this thing soccer fans do, or like players, when you injure someone or you hurt someone, you like caress the back of their head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like you grab the back of their head to let them know, like, no. We're friends. And we're one step closer to making out. And the fans are doing that. And they're like, no, leave him alone. And he could care less. He's like, that's my brother. Let's go outside then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
maybe about the locker rooms, my guy.
Eric Adaiwa, he's a central defensive midfielder, right?
Yeah, but apparently Mourinho came out and was like, look, we shouldn't go into the stands, but I mean, I'd do the same thing. Okay. And that's paraphrasing.
Yeah, he pretty much said, like, yeah, I understand you do what you got to do, but don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mourinho came out. He was like, yo, you know the vibes.
Yeah.
You know what happens out here. Watch your mouth, my guy. We got people listening.
He's like, yo, White Hart. Yo, bro, White Hart until I die. All right? Yeah.
White Hart. Yo, that dude was about to put the L in White Hart Lane.
So,
more like Cold Hart Lane.
So, you know how we look, do. he didn't swing on anybody. Nothing ended up happening.
I mean,
but he did. He ended up playing the next game. So he wasn't suspended, but I think there is some sort of punishment coming because you're not supposed to do that. They can't set that kind of precedent where the players are just going to jump in the stands when somebody said something they did not like. Right?
Okay. I mean, look, here's my, if for what it's worth, here's my 2 cents. Here's my 2 pence. Okay. On this situation. Yeah, that's right.
For whatever reason, I thought Mike Pence. I'm like, what is this about? What's about to happen?
Matty Pence. So here's my two quid. I don't know what you guys call a penny. I think actually penny is an English term. Anyway, here's the thing. If you're being racist, why is the guy who goes to defend the guy being racially abused the one who's going to get in trouble? Now, I know you shouldn't do these things, right? You shouldn't be jumping into the stands, but this one's for a good reason. So as far as I'm concerned, Eric Dyer should not get in any trouble whatsoever. Unless Tottenham is playing, unless this hurts Tottenham. Right now, I'm an Arsenal fan. Wait. I just thought about what I just said. Right?
I'm like, wait, he's defending?
Let me go back. Yo, give him back my 2 pence. Hold on. If this hurts Tottenham, then yeah, you can't go into the stands. What are you going to do, right? Rules and rules.
So, in some other news coming out of the Premier League, this was a bit of a curveball. So I was surprised about this. Floyd Mayweather was apparently in Newcastle at some event, and he was being interviewed. And apparently, I didn't know about this, but he is interested in buying Newcastle United.
He's serious about this, too, from what we're hearing.
Yeah. So this is a little trippy because you don't expect Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, the very, you know, holding a lot of money up to his ear kind of guy.
That's how he's going to get the phone call that the deal went through. He's going to put a rack to his ear.
Yes, you were seeing him here with other people with sexual abuse allegations. Yeah. Floyd Mayweather has dealt with a lot in his past.
Clearly, he knows soccer players know who he is. He's heard of the game of soccer. I think, though, the funniest part of this is if this happens, you know how British fans like to talk a little spicy about their owner. You know what I mean? I dare you. I dare you. You better tweet it because you know he can't read it. But if you say it on Instagram, my man going to come for you. Yo, okay.
You better make sure that audio is muted, dog.
You better hold up a piece of paper with that written on it. Okay. Yo, my man going to be like, wasn't you the, you thought Eric Dyer going into the stands was the problem?
Yes. Mayweather will leave the box seats to come after you.
Hell yeah, more like boxing seats. My dude's going to come down, drag your face up there and use it as a speed bag.
But this was, I love the moderator that was interviewing him at this Q&A said, he said, you're very interested in buying Newcastle United. And then Floyd Mayweather corrects him. He goes,
he represented for all of America.
He goes, in the U.S., we call it soccer, but the Newcastle football team is an unbelievable team. Floyd said, a hell of a team.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love the, you got well actually by a guy who can't read.
Yeah. Oh, you might not know this, but where we from?
Let me pat you on your British head.
And he probably doesn't know much about soccer. He's like, guys, look, we invented it. It's cute that you guys are playing it. Okay? We call it soccer. I don't know why you guys decided to take the wrong sport name.
We have football.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I also will buy Newcastle. NFL club. Okay, I'll buy them all.
I'll also buy a new castle. I could use one.
Yo, let me get a shiny castle. And you know he's gonna change the name to like Diamond Grill FC.
It's only fitting.
Yeah, right? Money Team Football Club. Let's go.
Okay, I'm on board.
ITMTFC till I die.
It's just Miguel Amirón with some just gold fronts.
He's like, it's hard to play in these. Just shut up and get out there.
We have to discuss at least one MLS match that blew my mind, right? Because LAFC played against the Philadelphia Union. I think a lot of people were just like, all right, Philly gonna go out to the West Coast, get waxed by LAFC. Okay, Vela was gonna, you know, he's gonna smack him with his ponytail, right? With his man bun or whatever. But no, this game was
they came to play.
This game was a thriller.
Yeah,
it was aggressive. Philly brought that Meek Mill energy
right
out to LA.
He played Dreams and Nightmares on the charter plane
because this game was just the first half was just I think it the first half was 1-1 out, and the game started at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm like, all right,
I missed it because I was performing, and then by the time I got off stage, it was like already. All I saw was tweets about this game.
Yeah.
The goal, I saw the goal from Glesnes.
Yes.
Because you had tweeted it out.
Yeah.
So I'm getting tons of notifications for it. I'm like, oh, what funny did I say on Twitter? Oh. All of a sudden has been discovered by the masses. Turns out I had nothing to do with it.
No, I mean, and that was a moment. Jacob Glesnes, the center back, Norwegian center back for Philadelphia Union, I believe. This is his first season. I could be wrong. But the fact that he scores a goal like that. If you haven't seen this goal, just look up Jacob Glesnes. Jacob with a K.
I guarantee you, if you put Glesnes, there's nothing else that's going to come. There's not like a Glesnes construction company that's going to come up above this goal. This might be the goal of the year in the second week of MLS.
Yeah, and so this is, and I'm even when I tweeted it out, I was like careful to, you know, what words to use of like how impressed I was by this goal.
And you went with David Luiz.
Well, I said because David Luiz did that goal in the World Cup. Yeah. That was eerily similar.
So did Roberto Carlos's most famous, one of the most famous free kick goals of all time.
But Roberto Carlos's goal curved. It was outside of the boot and it curved outside of the wall. This did not do that.
No, it did not. It nearly ripped apart the wall. This legitimately would have ruined someone's life.
David Luiz did a similar thing in the World Cup where he just knuckled it so much that the keeper wasn't going to.
That's exactly what happened here. People thought that the keeper reacted late. No, it's that ball so was traveling in six different directions. It took a fork. No one knew was in the road.
So yeah, this goal is incredible, and I also it genuinely felt like one of the greatest goals I've ever seen, right? I mean, it was almost from like 40 yards out.
I mean, the run-up is Roberto Carlo-esque where you're like, why is he going so far back?
Yeah,
he's not going to. No. I mean, he would never. Who the hell is this guy? You know,
put him on the map immediately,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wow.
And you can sort of tell based on if you were watching it on Fox, on FS1, you saw John Strong and Stu Holden call it. And Stu Holden, as the ball is traveling in the air, and he's still like, oh, no, he's not going to take. Oh, he take it. Oh, my God, it's a goal.
And when you watch it, it looks like the audio and the video aren't synced.
Totally, yeah.
Because midair, he's like, I mean, clearly he would never take a shot. One, no one knows who you are, dude. Two, come on now. And three, what are you, nuts? And as that's going in, it's John Strong going, go. Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, so it was really one of the greatest goals I've ever seen, but I had this. Maybe this is like MLS, you feel this
inferiority complex
where you're like, I can't even say that this is one of the greatest goals I've ever seen because it's an MLS goal. And then people are going to criticize the goalkeeper
right. And
MLS goalkeeping and blah, blah, blah.
And the wall, everything, the grass in MLS. It's retired grass. I saw it when it was better 5 years ago. I think one of the things that's most frustrating about it is it wasn't until European like publications start tweeting it out and giving it that credit that a lot of other people, but it's that PTSD of being an MLS fan. We're like, this is great. And everyone's like, well, let me break down all the ways where it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We saw it in the Premier League, right? Pepe Reina playing against Leicester.
I can't believe he's training for a marathon. What a weird time to do it, but good for him.
Goalkeepers don't need to really exercise or run much, but he chose to do it, to run a lap around the pitch.
He's doing a 10K for some charity.
So we saw it with David De Gea against Everton, right? Where Dominic Calvert-Lewin just goalkeeping errors. I think they got whatever the goalkeeping disease that MLS goalkeepers had, it's over in the Premier League now.
Yeah, that virus is now spread. And they're going to shut down England.
Okay, we cured ourselves of it.
Yeah, we're good, but now you got it. Okay. But here's
a little hot potato.
The thing we did, now I'm hungry. I tweeted out that De Gea and said, just simply said, imagine this happened in MLS. And as soon as that caught a little wind in Europe, people were like, it just happens every day in MLS. Every game, there's a huge mistake like this. Leave us alone. And now Pepe Reina, it's like, well.
Nah, bro. It's just, yo, it's every week out in England.
Apparently, it ain't just us, my guy.
So, just an unbelievable goal. Philadelphia Union, not only, and, you know, obviously that was a great goal. Carlos Vela had the great goal from the free goals. Kick. And that's what I loved about this game, that it wasn't like a messy 3-3. You know,
it wasn't like a weird scrap.
It was just like golazos and just everybody's just like on point.
It was one of those things like an old timey war where like you shoot out the front line and they just come over and shake your hand. That was a good one. That was a good one. All right, we're going to go back and now we're going to try to do it to you. All right. Like it was like that. It was like a sparring contest.
Sure, sure. It was very like respectable a battle.
Right, these are the terms of war, folks. You got a good one on us. We're going to try to score a goal on you now.
So the other thing, speaking of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Galaxy lost their game.
Right.
Chicharito, 2 matches in MLS, has not scored. People are already, you know, the criticism is starting to come up.
Yeah, but now even more because people are mad that he didn't show up for sort of media after the game.
Yeah.
He barely has shown up to MLS, okay? So why are you mad he didn't show up to the media, bro?
Yeah, he did not appear in the press conference. He didn't speak to any of the reporters.
And look, Corner of the Galaxy tweeted out a photo, which you can see now. You know, it's a huge amount of people that are out there just to talk to him.
Yeah, he's an important figure. Everybody was very excited. Look, if you're welcoming everybody and excited when people show up, you know, at the airport waiting for you.
Yeah.
This is part of the responsibility, right? You have to do this. And it's not, you know, I would even say that there's a double standard, right? He is a much larger figure. He's the most popular player in Major League Soccer right now. I mean, that's just so you have to. That's part of the job.
He's the draw.
Yeah.
You know, he's the reason that people are buying those tickets. He's the reason people are going to that game. And if this much media attention is coming to the league, I kind of feel I get where you're coming from. You're not playing well. Things aren't going great. You want to be focused and not be out there. This is kind of part of the deal of bringing you in.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the added exposure that the league is going to get because you're there. That's part of the job.
And I think it's probably a big reason why he maybe never wanted to play in MLS or maybe didn't want to play in earlier in his career in Los Angeles, because there is a little there's a bit of like. This happens with comedians that like are from, I'm from New York, right? So a lot of times when you start comedy here, there's a lot more pressure. Everybody like knows you.
Yeah, friends are coming out. Like
so it's kind of nice to like start somewhere else, right?
Right.
Obviously he got to go to England and got be in Manchester United, disconnected. Obviously there's still a lot of pressure there, but he's not like his.
But you come back a hero because even if you didn't play well, he played for Manchester United.
Yeah, and now that he is in Los Angeles dealing with, the Mexican media that are there, the Spanish media, they are the criticism is
the spotlight is much brighter on
him. It's much closer to you, and I think this is a little bit of a sign of like why he may be appreciated staying in Europe longer. Why he didn't, you know, he
should have gone to Columbus Crew. I mean, no one even knows what Mexicans are out there. They're like, damn, you light-skinned black dude.
Okay, you like friends with Drake or something?
I know, man. But what was your mom? But are you Jewish?
So, I want him to succeed, but this part of it, the dealing with the criticism, is part of the responsibility.
Hey, it's week two. It's only going to get a little brighter now.
All right. So, let's talk about some U.S. Men's national team, youth national team. Get a lot of U.S. soccer that we have to get to.
Some good, some bad.
Let's start with the positive. Let's start with the Olympic roster.
Yeah.
It was revealed at halftime of the LAFC Philadelphia Union game, the roster. And so, the last couple of years, I think the last two Olympics, the U.S. men's national team has not made it in. Which is already...
So it's what, like 8 years we haven't qualified? Something like that?
It's pretty embarrassing, pretty rough. And it realistically is why, they miss out on the World Cup. Right?
It's a sort of like an inkling into how the next generation of men's national team players is going to play.
Correct.
It's not an exact but it's pretty close.
So there's a couple notable names. Obviously, we have like the, you know, Reggie Cannon, Justin Glad,
Ebobasi, Jonathan Lewis got in there.
Yes. Mark McKenzie from Philadelphia Union, Aaron Herrera,
Sebastian Salcedo from Pumas.
That's right. So that was a big one.
He was from Park City, Utah, which you were there recruiting him. So,
that's right.
Right. Okay. It's a work trip.
Okay. All right. I'm out on the slopes.
You know what I mean?
I'm still.
You just got to show that you're there to be there. You know what I mean? This is all work trip.
So we got Georgie Mihailovic, Brendan Aronson. So look, when you look at this roster, I'm optimistic of like the talent that's on here. It is obviously very a very young squad, but when I see,
yeah, they're the U23s,
yeah, when I see like, you know, Jackson Yule,
Reggie Cannon,
Paxton Pomacall, as far as like my main concern is really up front. I think defensively and in the midfield, I think they'll be fine. I'm curious to see, look, I mean, the forwards for the Olympic team, Jeremy Ebobasi, Jesus Ferreira, Jonathan Lewis, Yuli Yanez, and Sebastian Salcedo. So,
yeah.
I'm like, I've never really seen these guys play together much.
You're like, start them all at the same time. Okay.
So I'm like, what's the front three going to look like, or what the formation is going to look like?
But you got Jonathan Lewis, clearly a winger. You got Ebobasi, clearly a center forward, as far as I'm concerned. So I think they have placements. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just seeing if they get bag a couple goals, I'll be excited. Yeah. But like the other players that would be possible to play, but I believe are injured, Timothy Weah.
Sargent could potentially play as well.
Yeah, so but he was, I think he's more of a
but
in
he
line
is
for the first
23.
Team. Yeah. So I'm a little, they have to qualify. That's really, because this might not be the team that actually goes to the Olympics.
Yeah.
But they have to qualify. It would just be.
Look, if they don't qualify, then I hope they cancel the Olympics, okay? Like, make it something else. Give us a chance, all right? In a couple, 6 more months. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if it didn't work out because.
Yeah, not our fault.
Not our fault. You know?
We lost on purpose. Yo, we want to take care of these kids.
I thought they should have canceled the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
I said that.
Just a precautionary. Let's just go back.
So the other thing I wanted to mention is that the women's team, the youth national team, the U20s,
that's right,
are going to the World Cup, the U.S. women, and because they defeated the Dominican Republic.
I wouldn't say defeated, by the way.
Okay.
They allowed the Dominican Republic women's team to scrimmage with them.
No, well, look, at least the U.S. Women, these girls, they beat, they lost 6-0.
Yeah.
Cuba played the men's national team.
Uh-huh.
I lost, what was the scoreline there?
I think it was like 2-0, 1-0.
No, it was 7-0.
Oh.
Okay, so therefore,
Cubans are more generous, is what you were going to say just now.
Dominicans are better at soccer by 1 goal.
What was the score when we played each other, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but the results, really, it's really what playing against the U.S. is really what where it matters.
Not when we play each other. Clearly, that's not a way to see who's better. It's how is it when you play the U.S.?
Nobody's ever judged anything that way.
No. Why would we build the sport around that?
No, it's disappointing. I was watching this game. I was excited. I'm like, oh, the Dominican women beat Jamaica
to make it
to their first semifinal in any CONCACAF tournament.
Yeah.
They were thrilled. This is super exciting, but obviously going against.
Also, but like shouts to the people that tweeted it out. A lot of celebrities, Miro in particular.
Yeah.
Tweeted out, in support of the Dominican women's team, which is great. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, but where were you when they were down 4-0?
Huh? Where were you when the Dominican team was losing to Cuba? I remember that. Where were you?
Okay. Some of us have been here since the beginning. Okay, which is like roughly 3-4 years ago when we realized Dominicans were playing soccer.
He had their first album.
So, frustrating. It would have been unbelievable if the Dominican Republic made it to the U20 World Cup.
been amazing.
Unreal. But there's a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and you know, they, a lot of the women that play on the team are either like American citizens of Dominican heritage.
Yeah, they're people that can play for the Dominican.
And
Republic.
So it's cool to see that that part represented.
But we
as
support
well.
Women's
yeah,
soccer.
Yeah. There's a lot of Dominican people doing the, like everything they can to find like Dominican talent to make the program better in DR. A
couple ladies from the Bronx out there.
Let's go. That's all we need. Take the hoop earrings off and let's go.
Nah, play with these.
Okay, so let's some more U.S. soccer drama.
We started with the positive.
Started with the positive.
And now we are.
Okay. Obviously, we've spoken about this very often, about the U.S. Women's National Team legal.
I think everyone knows where we stand.
Yeah, their legal case. And now a lot of the arguments are coming out. They're a matter of public record.
And I think this is what's important, right? Because everyone knew this was going to be public record.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just glad that they were reasonable.
No, man. U.S. soccer, from a legal standpoint, have leaned in and not in the good way.
No, not at all.
they have leaned in to, I don't know if it's like a, it seems like a men's rights blog.
Yeah, it's a little conspiracy theory.
It is. They've basically said,
the first sentence is, when is International Men's Day? Question mark.
Just straight up Juan Agudelo tweet. Yeah. Yo, that's for the OGs out there.
All right, some of our day ones.
So they basically, to paraphrase, men are stronger than women, and right. Why should we pay them equally? It feels a little bit like that.
It's like the beginning of a Maury Povich episode. This is what you do in the first segment.
Because you say something salacious to get audience like, ooh, I'm angry. Booing. I got to watch this.
Yeah, but then by the end, it's not his kid. So who cares? Thank God for that kid. This is just, going from the negative publicity received from when they hired lobbyists, right?
Yeah.
From that moment on, look, you don't win anything by winning in the court of public opinion, right? You actually have to win the actual trial. Yeah. But this is just bad, just a bad look after bad look after bad look.
Yeah, even if
it's like, we want to love y'all.
Even if they win this case, the court of public opinion will have already decided like, yo, this is a trash argument to make. And it legally, you could understand they could through legalese and figuring out how to word things, they could possibly win this case. But like, what are you winning? That's a kind of like the mentality.
You're cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you gaining more by not paying the women a fair wage, or do you genuinely think that they're asking for too much? Because that's not what I could understand if you're like, no, yo, we ain't got it, right?
But like, there's a difference between saying you're asking for too much, but maybe you deserve a little more, versus y'all don't have the same chromosomes we do.
Yeah,
that's a big jump. Like, you can't take that back.
You
can't unsay that. It's in a document you sign, and you release it 24 hours before their She Believes final.
Yeah, I mean,
or semifinal.
It's a PDF. You can't even edit these.
Nah, so. Dude. That came from you.
So look, they knew what they were doing, right? They maybe it got to as far as the discussions. They were like, maybe is this the last resort of we have to go to? But there's
the only thing missing is like, well, we can't pay them. We'll pay them a quarter less because of the periods. You know what I mean? That takes out a week each month. You know what I mean? Like,
there's literally wording in here that's like, it's not sexist to say that men are strong. Like, it says it in there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yo, bro, everybody's concerned that you're being sexist. And you're like, it ain't sexist. You know?
Now I know what you're thinking. Right? It's like when you do the, no offense, but and you're about to offend.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did here. Look, this ain't sexist, but. Have you ever noticed broads?
Did Jermaine Jones draft this with all due respect?
Yeah, with all due respect. Not for nothing, but.
Just crazy. Yeah, we'll figure out. We have to stay tuned to this because this is like going to be a crazy outcome.
Where could they go next?
All right, we'll be back with more after this, everybody.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We're going to bring them the word from one of our sponsors, Project Goal.
Project Goal, a great organization based in Rhode Island.
That's right. And we're going to be there.
Yes, we're going to be hosting their fundraiser, their charity event. It is Project Goal is a nonprofit. They are, an after school program. And soccer tutoring, soccer education for kids. So it's like kids that otherwise would not be able to like afford academies and how expensive soccer can be.
Right. We've always talked about how the pay for play system doesn't allow everyone to get a chance to play in soccer. This is one of those organizations that's trying to find a way around that.
Yeah.
And it's a great charity. I'm glad we're doing it. We're going all the way to Rhode Island. It's going to be Friday, March 27th. It's going to be at the Wanamoyset Country Club.
Yeah, I want a moiset.
I don't want a dry one. I want a moiset, okay? Want a moiset Country Club in East Providence, Rhode Island. It's dope. We're going to go. We're going to hang out. We'll be there.
We had a great time. Last year, we were hanging out with Shaka Hislop.
That's right.
I believe there's supposed to be some New England Revolution players this time around.
That's right. A little bit of a like one of those silent auctions, too.
Yeah, that's right. And the folks from Providence City as well.
Yeah.
I'll hang out there as well. So if you are in the New England area and would like to support a great organization, either by bidding on some of the items in the silent auction, whether it's like tickets to a market. Anthony concert or like a autographed Mark Anthony CD or something like that.
Or a Mark Anthony signed cleats, which was a real thing. Why?
Mark Anthony is very involved in soccer.
Yeah, apparently in Rhode Island too. But it's an absolute great foundation.
You can salsa in your cleats.
Yeah. Certainly. You could serenade your girl in them. But it's a great organization. I'm really happy that we're going to be there. Friday, March 27th. If you get the VIP tickets, you get to hang out with us. So make sure you get that. All that money goes towards the kids at the Wanamoyset Country Club in East Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes, and go to projectgoal.org to get more information.
What are you doing?
I don't know, but I've seen...
And guess what? Neither do we.
I've seen TikTok videos, okay?
I think I interrupted two girls doing a TikTok video. They were doing the same dance.
It was two girls, one cup on TikTok?
Yeah, was the cup. It was disgusting. No, they were all doing the same dance, and I walked by. I'm like, "What's going on over here?"
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
That's right. And very rarely do I say this, but we're also the gulliest. Right.
You know what? Yeah. It's been so long since you've said that, Alexis.
I feel like I don't say that every single time because I do say it every single time because we are the gulliest. We're right behind you.
You need to be reminded.
That's me running down the block.
Nah, man. I am absolutely thrilled about tonight's show.
It's incredible.
Because it's always lovely when players come through here.
Who's hoisted trophies.
Yes. We haven't even met many people that have hoisted things.
No. Right? There's an EMT who picked me up that time I was roofied. A bit of a hoisting situation.
He hoisted you.
At a certain weight, it's no longer picking up. It is hoisting. He didn't have to hold me over his head and kiss me as he ran around. I thought I was a little rude. Not a trophy, my guy. Put me down. I have been roofied.
Yes, that's. We'll save that story for another day. Yeah. But yes, we are excited about today's show and today's guest.
Absolutely.
This man played Sporting Kansas City, NYCFC, Portland Timbers,
Costa Rican national team.
Exactly. Been to a World Cup.
And now finally he gets to honor his career by being on our show.
Don't forget DC.
That's right. Also DC. DC. I heard from a little birdie. The Maryland legend himself. Put your hands together unless you're driving for the one, the only, Rodney Wallace, everybody.
Rodney.
Thank you for having me,
of
guys.
Of course. Pleasure. DC legend.
DC.
We didn't forget that. Bro. We were just waiting.
Rodney, thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me, guys, for sure.
It's absolute honor, right? I feel like at least for us, the first time we got to really see you play up close regularly was when you were with NYCFC. You came from the Portland Timbers at that point, I believe.
Beloved by the Portland Timbers. We heard treat them well.
That's hard. That's love right there. Yeah. That's love. Green and gold.
Even one of our biggest fans, a guy by the name of Igor Mortis.
Igor Mortis.
Tattoo artist.
Igor Mortis. I got that's my guy.
Yeah.
We're bonded for life.
Yeah. All right.
Because of the tattoo.
Yeah, I was okay, going to yeah, say, yeah. What else happened? Yeah.
Baby. It was just the tattoo.
Let me put tattoo. It was
just the ink, just the ink. On the arms, it's nowhere else. Yeah.
No, but he's incredibly talented. He was one of the first people, one of the first like Timbers supporters, Timbers Army that was like, showed us some love. And that, and I think he was like one of our first introductions to what the Timbers Army was really all about. So my first question.
He's a real one. Yeah.
We actually stayed at his place when we were in Portland.
Really? Yeah. He's awesome. Did you guys see the chickens? Did you guys eat the eggs?
No, I think we did have for the one breakfast.
Maybe you didn't know.
No, he told us.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a couple
of years. What else did you eat over there?
Nothing else. Nothing that's illegal here in New York.
No, Igor, you're a good piece. Appreciate you.
Igor's the man.
So I want to start there. How about for your time with the Timbers and obviously getting to win MLS Cup there? What's it like playing? We have been to Providence Park. What's it like playing in front of the Timbers Army and playing for the Portland Timbers?
It's a magical place. I mean, to this day, I still get the chills every time I'm in the stadium. I mean, as soon as you walk in, you just feel that atmosphere. You feel that love from the fans. And it became even more of a home for me after we won the trophy. We won the MLS Cup. I think that just kind of just, it was a staple. Once you get that star on your jersey, I mean, it's a different feeling from the fans to the players. We've always had that connection because it's a community. It's not just... It's not just Portland Timbers, the football club. It's a community. Realistically, we just talked about Igor. He tattooed me. We've had lunch. We've had dinners. He's been at my house. I mean, Igor is one of the most loyal fans. Yeah. And he's also a good friend. That's how it is. It's a family. You know, for me, in Portland, the way that they embraced me, it was phenomenal. And then the fans and I went through this a rough patch as teams do because of results, because of
every relationship goes through.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was one of those things where we weren't talking for a while and
team starts checking your phone.
You know what I mean? Like, what's up?
What's your password?
Who's
this Teddy in your WhatsApp?
It's just the Timbers, man.
Nah, he's the kid,
it's
man.
It's just the Timbers. that's what made us. That's what at least it made me closer to them, because it was one of those things where I felt it. They felt it. It's a community, and then we turn things around, and you mature as a player and as a person, and you really see the big picture of what it really is, what it really means to be a Timber. And it's not just on the pitch, it's off the pitch. And having that knowledge and passing it on to the next players that would come in and doing that, it made it so everybody was on the same page. And eventually we ended up accomplishing the one thing that we all wanted as a city, and that was to win the cup.
That's so dope.
Yeah, it's fire. I wanted to ask this because it's been on my mind for a while, and I've never bumped into you a couple times, but that MLS Cup, you scored in that MLS Cup against Columbus Crew.
Yes, sir.
Big game, but it was a very controversial call, right? Or non-call.
That's what they say.
Supposedly.
It happened.
Yeah. There was a ball that...
They're still talking about it.
It
happened. Like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. I mean, was it out of bounds?
Like, we can watch the tape again. Just like it happened.
It was out of bounds. Perfect ball.
Yeah.
Was I supposed to stop the play? I mean...
Yeah, that is... like, if VAR would have been existed, I mean, yeah, maybe it would have been called back. Who knows or whatever.
It would have been called back.
Okay.
Maybe not. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I still got beer thrown on me after the goal. So it doesn't change that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know about that. I mean, I scored the goal. We went to celebrate in front of their fan section, that little triangle they have.
Yeah.
And
the Nordic, I think.
That little space that they have over there.
He's saying little so disrespectfully.
The little like, section
cute little,
over there.
That little cute little gas charm.
Yeah, right there.
Some would say, like a real estate agent would say it's charm.
It's charming. Yeah. but we went over there, celebrated, and just got cans thrown at us, beer, and it was I mean, it felt, I was like, oh well, I'm back in times over here, you know what I mean? So they were salty about that, understood, or as they should be if you know you're a real fan. I mean, you should be salty that the ball was out of bounds. And
that passion swings both ways sometimes.
And we kept playing, but no, it was a phenomenal night for sure.
We're here with Rodney Wallace. Now, Rodney, one of the things that you got to do, which is something that also we don't get a chance to interview a lot of people that have done this before, you got to play for your home country. You got to play for Costa Rica. I think you were at the game. I think, in fact, you sent the cross to Urania, the game we were at.
Urania, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Urania.
At Rebel Arena.
At Rebel Arena. Yeah. It was the doubleheader. It was
Honduras.
You versus Honduras. And it was before that, I think it was like French Guiana versus Canada.
Yeah.
And all seven people that showed up for that, I think, had a good time. Because they have the population of French Guiana, actually. there was one guy chanting for Canada. I'm like, everybody relax. don't throw your back out for this one, buddy. Florin Malouda's playing. He's not even allowed to be here. This is all going to get washed out.
Let him be.
Just chill. Let him kick the game. Let him kick the ball around a little bit. While you sit down and relax, get a popcorn. But you got to play for your country. What's that like? Getting the chance to play for your country, getting a chance to play for Costa Rica, some of the craziest, wildest, most hardcore fans we've ever met are Costa Rican national team fans that were sitting behind us and in front of us and next to us, so we were quiet. We're very quiet. But we went just to enjoy the match.
Yeah.
But like, you got a chance to actually play and put on the Tico shirt and all that. Yeah. Is that something that you've been hoping for and wishing for since you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, growing up in Costa Rica, that's the big price right there. If you play soccer, which most kids do, you grew up playing on the street, you grew up playing wherever you can, you idolize those players, you idolize every single player in the league in Costa Rica, and then you watch the process as they're on a national team, and you know, those are your heroes, and they still are. I mean, I still get starstruck when I see a player, or that's a coach now, for example, and you shake hands with them and you're like, yeah, I mean, you are still the truth, you know, right, and you have that respect for them. The coach that we went to with the World Cup, Oscar Ramirez, he big star, you know what I mean? They call him El Machito. He was a big star, and it's funny to see how they were back then to then how they are now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a bunch of years, so they're completely different people, but you still see them like as those players
in the air. I don't know if
that mullet.
You know what I mean?
A little
haircuts,
a little bit skinnier. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
your jersey.
Yeah, nah. But no, they were stars, and those were our stars. So you know, to be able to represent your country was a huge deal. It was also intimidating, especially for me, because I moved to Maryland when I was 10 years old. So I left Costa Rica, moved to Maryland. And all I wanted to be was a soccer player. So I came to the States and I was looking for a soccer team, and I didn't know how it worked. You know what I mean? Because over there you build yourself up to play for the younger teams of
academies.
The academies now, you know what I mean? So I went to try out for a travel soccer team in I didn't even have cleats. I had on Reebok sneakers. I had sneakers on, you know what I mean? And I was slipping all over the place, but
looking fresh though.
You know what I'm saying? But they knew it had something though. I said,
just pose it.
Yeah. So
are you celebrating a goal you didn't score yet? I'm just like,
I'm here. My shit's fresh. It worked out. And then in 2011, I believe I got my first call up, and it was against the United States in Carson, California, and I ended up scoring in my debut. And you know, you can't write it anymore. You can't write it any better. So that's one of my highlights. That's one of my biggest moments, just because I was able to score versus the country that gave me so much, a country that has given me everything. So it was controversial in many people's eyes, but it was an experience for me because I didn't know any of the players. They didn't know me. I'd never played in the league in Costa Rica. So I was I was a stranger that just came into, just popped into the scene, and it's on a national team now.
Yeah.
But I deserved it because I was born in Costa Rica and I'm Costa Rican.
Of course.
You know, I earned that. But it takes time for people to adapt to something new, to adapt to somebody they don't know, el gringo, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it took a while for me to adjust to that, and it took a while for them to adjust to me. But, you know, now you looking back at it, it's all laughs because, to be honest, when I first got there, I was shy, I was timid, and my Spanish, I feel like it was a different culture for me, regardless of what it was. Yeah. Realistically, it was just different from what I was used to for a lot of years I was in America. So now I have to adapt to these guys that are all friends with each other, and you go there and
they all hang out with each other.
You can't, like, can I sit here? You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So no, but
the big challenge, I mean, like, so I'm Dominican, and when I go back to the Dominican Republic, every gap, if it's 3-4 years that I go from the last time, it's the slang. The slang is new. They're all using all these new words. And I'm like, I haven't been in the streets. I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you talk. So I can imagine in a team, I'm like, yo, what? I speak Spanish, but I don't even know the words you're using.
You're like, I haven't updated my OS.
My software is not there. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm on que lo que 2.8.
See.
And y'all moved over to 5.0. I'm a couple behind.
But it's true. That's how it was. You had to reprogram your chip. And that's what happens to me every time. Because now, for example, I'm back and forth. And it's 100%. Now it's fluid, but you have to change your chip automatically. It takes time to adapt to that, and then you have to understand the connections, the lingos. And no one's really clicky, but you have to adjust to a whole different situation.
It's like every little thing that makes you different becomes exaggerated.
But it makes you a better person.
When I talk to Cuban people from Cuba, I sound like I'm in the 70s because that's when my family left.
Yeah.
That's the language I learned. So now I'm talking. It's like I'm walking around like, what up, Jav, Turkey? They're like,
they're saying, no,
that ain't how right now, my guy. You need to go and button up the rest of your shirt, my dude.
I said, you ain't like that anymore, my guy.
Get your geriatric ass out of my face, dog.
He shows up with a fedora and everything.
One time around, they're like, you need to. We off that.
Spending a lot of your youth in the U.S., I think I've heard you say this publicly, but was there ever any, I don't think that you were considering playing for the U.S., but was ever anyone ever trying to, like?
And that's kind of how it came about, because it was my rookie year at D.C. I had a good rookie season, and you start to hear things, and then articles start to come up. Is he eligible for the U.S.? He's Costa Rican. So those articles get sent over there.
Yeah.
And so, there's a Costa Rican playing in the MLS. You know, can he play for our national team? So now it became that a bit of a bidding war type thing. And in my head, I'm like, whoa, like, what do I do? But, you know, you feel... You have that thing, you have it in your heart where you're like, I want to live that childhood dream, like scoring a goal and seeing the way I celebrated when, for example, my cousin Harold Wallace scored a goal or did a move. You know, I envisioned that for myself, and I was like, I can't take that fire down. You know what I mean? I gotta put on for my people. So basically, it was one of those things where I was like, "Nah, like whatever it is, I'm gonna go. And if I get the call up, I'm 100% gonna go."
Okay. So that's how I am. When I picture eating pizza, I fold it.
This is me.
I'm East Coast to the core.
Rodney, we were talking about Costa Rica and playing for the team. We were just in Costa Rica for NYCFC's CONCACAF Champions League match
versus San Carlos.
Okay. Speaking of it, with San Carlos, we thought the game was going to be in San Carlos.
We almost drove
3 hours away.
For no reason.
For food, huh? Yeah,
I mean, that's what we would have done.
Where's the food at?
I'd be like, look, let's not take the full L. Let's just go eat over there. And we'll eat over there. We'll do 90 minutes of eating. So we have some 45s. We poop in the middle. Give ourselves more room.
But speaking of that, we were when we were going there, one of the first people we reached out to was like, yo, Ronnie, we're going to Costa Rica. Why should we eat? Why should we be doing out there?
We didn't say like, want to hang out. We didn't say, want to get a drink. We said, what do we eat?
They didn't even say hi. No. Like, yo, where to eat? Yeah.
There was no vowels. Where eat? Question mark.
They're hungry right now. Yeah.
So it's like the interesting thing. So you told us about La Pataconería, which was a great place. If you're ever in Costa Rica, go to Pataconería. It's absolutely
Christian's
delicious.
Girlfriend was like, I just want fried plantains. She's on a very strict diet, but that she can eat. And
she
I was like,
the whole.
You took us to the Mecca of fried plantains. It's hard to explain, but as many French fries as McDonald's has, they have discs of fried plantains.
Fire.
Yeah, so it's so good.
Ideally, like a sandwich, but made with the bread is
right.
The plantain.
Some people say patacón pisao, but patacón is just fried plantains. But a lot of them are like in cup shape or flattened, or like it's like the crust of a pizza with food on top. It's just fried plantains everywhere. And he's Dominican,
and
so he was happy.
Whatever in them, it's
yeah.
It was great. Good. So it was a great suggestion. But another one that other people suggested, because speaking of Matajita. Yeah. Because people were like, people were saying he eats this thing called caldosas. That was like the thing he grew up with.
He's from the south of Costa Rica, I guess, which is a bag of Doritos cut open. I'm not making this up. And they put ceviche.
Yeah. And you would think it's...
We're in. You had me at Doritos, by the way. You could have said anything. You could have said like, and then a small child farts in it. Like, I'll air it out a little bit.
Let it out.
Get with the Doritos.
But the Doritos okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you find all these gassy kids? What's in the water? Oh, yeah.
So we were appreciative of the direction. Are there?
Did you try that?
The cardosas? Yeah. We actually found it. We were in San Jose.
With pepper and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said, do you want it spicy? And I think we got just a little bit because
we were
in
Santa Ana.
Okay. Santa Ana. That's where he's from, right?
Yeah. So it was...
actually, he's not. He's not.
He's from... Where is he from?
He's from a different saint. There's all saints down there. When they were naming the country, somebody had a Bible open or something. Everything's San Jose, Santa Ana. Santo Cristo, Sancho Panza. It's all.
Do you tend to miss the food in Costa Rica, or is it? I mean, in New York, I'm sure there's options or similar things.
I do miss it, and that's the first thing I did when I landed was go to that exact same restaurant.
Okay.
I was like, yo, these guys need to come check this out.
Okay.
And obviously, I overordered. But yeah. That's natural, right?
Yeah. Some would call it that. I wouldn't categorize it as such.
Some would call it a normal amount of
Eat
food.
A moose boosh, if you will. Just a little prep for the palate. Yeah.
But you don't have that food. You can find it in the United States, but it's not the same as when you're in Costa Rica. So you gotta go all out and.
Well, the difference between one thing I noticed about Costa Rican food is it's very similar. You have a Caribbean side. So it's very similar to Caribbean Latino food, which we have. And there are differences between Dominican food and Cuban food. Primarily, like Cuban food is better. But then when you try like the Costa Rican version of these things, I'm like, oh, look, another loser to Cuban food. Like, okay. It's just a little different. Like, oh, we win again. Wow. Shouts to abuela. It's just the seasonings are a little different. So like, it's cool to try. Like gallo pinto is very similar to something we would call like arroz con gris. But it's just like the seasonings are a little different. The way it's cooked is a little different. So it's cool to try all these different levels. So yeah, you could probably get similar food, but you're like, this don't taste the same.
It doesn't taste the same as when you're there. Like for example, like you said, the gallo pinto, it's just, you want to go and get it at that place where you just know where it's good. You know, either you go to your aunt's house or you go to La Cafeteria, you go wherever it is that they make it the right way. So every time I'm there, I try to just automatically hit those spots before I have to do whatever I have to do, because I know, you know, it's always on the go in Costa Rica, but the food is the first thing that you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I mean, right? Why are you looking at me? You know that's the answer. First, second, last.
When you moved to Maryland as a kid, was that like jarring that you couldn't get the same food, or was it noticeable, or was that even an issue?
Nah, well, I mean, I moved with my whole family, so mom was just still doing it.
So your house was little San Jose?
Just right there, you know what I mean? Desamparados, that's where I'm from. So, I mean, my mom's still killing it in the kitchen, so I couldn't complain. I grew up with the best food.
That's
and
awesome.
Now my wife is attempting to do the same. You know, we're working on it as a family.
As a family.
Love you, babe. You know what I mean?
It's also because, you know, like my grandmother taught my wife how to cook. My wife's Italian.
Yeah.
Taught her how to cook like arroz con pollo or like, you know, roba vieja. And my grandmother's like grabbing her hand and being like, that much salt. Like, yeah, there's no scale. And she's like, give me a little white hand.
These two, two fingers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, slapping stuff out of her hand. And she's like, how? And she's like, doesn't speak a word of English. My wife doesn't speak Spanish. And she's like, pruébalo, coño. You know, try it. Does yours taste like mine? No. Yeah, no. Okay, you're wrong. You do it like this. Next. It's like little by little, but now my wife knows how to make that food. It is, it's sort of a connection to that culture. When you got a chance to sort of play for the national team and you came back to MLS, as a Costa Rican player, did things change? Because confidence plays a big role, especially when you're like someone who's as far forward as you are on the field. Did that confidence give you a shift? Did it make you play better?
I think that the international stage just adds to your game. It makes you grow. I mean, the competition's higher. The speed of...
He's getting choked up.
The speed of the game is just faster, and you adapt to different things, traveling, whether it's, you know, the different cultures. So you grow as a person, which makes you grow on the field. And you have to survive. It's a survival mentality because you're there for such a short period of time that you have to perform. So you have no time to, okay, well, we have next week, we have another match. No, you have to do your thing in the 90, those 20 minutes, those 30 minutes, those 6 minutes that you get. You have to always prove a point, and you do it for yourself, but you're doing it because you want to come back and back and come back and collect as many caps as possible.
Is there like are you harder on yourself? Any, like, you take a bad first touch, or you just like, is it easy to get in this negative slump or down on yourself when you make a mistake on that stage that can affect you and can affect your future?
Oh man. I mean, depends on what you're, depends how you're built. Right. I mean, personally, it's I know I'm not perfect, so if I take a bad touch, it might feel different to them than it feels to the fans in the States. They might start whistling at you every time you touch the ball. So it's more on how they react than to how you react, because you're going to remain yourself. But there are some players that have had a rough time because they just have a terrible first three touches, and now the crowd is against them and they're whistling at you every time you touch the ball. So for me, it's just been stay locked into your game, do what you need to do. And I know myself, I know my game, and I know that if I take a bad touch, I have to either get it back or make up for it in some other way. That's just, it's different. But the crowds in different regions play a certain role. You got to be ready for everything.
Is a thing.
I can't even whistle. I'm so jealous.
Yo, how do you do that?
You know what I mean?
Whistling didn't even touch him.
And then they did.
It's so loud. And I went to the Saprissa match against Montreal, and I was just like,
you know what was happening, right? You heard it.
Yo,
it's mad disrespectful. It's hilarious.
Yo, it gets in your head.
But is it disrespectful, or is it like that they expect?
Yeah.
It is disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. We got more of Ronnie when we get back. Still here with Ronnie Wallace. Now, Ronnie, our listeners and our viewers right now are kind of realizing you're kind of a chill dude, right? You're a relaxed guy, right? You always, you take it as it comes, right? Bit of a sailboat, right? Wherever the wind blows, you know what I mean?
It is. It could be up.
Right. But like, you're also like an ultra competitive dude, right? You kind of have to have gotten as far as you've gotten. How do you balance those two out? Because when I picture someone who's like ultra competitive, I picture like pupils really dilated and like in your face and type A, but you're kind of like a bit more of a relaxed guy.
I mean, it took years to,
anger management? What'd you go through?
I did time. No, it took years. I mean, it takes time. It's, I feel like I've always been chill, and I do flip the switch on the pitch, but it takes time for you to really know yourself and to how to balance that out. And especially when you have kids, I mean, I have two girls, so patience is everything, you know what I mean? And once I had Ivy, it was like, okay.
That's your oldest.
That's my oldest. She's five. Right. Yeah, I see the picture a little bit differently, you know what I mean? But, I mean, the game for me has been such a blessing that I take it as it comes, you know what I mean? I take the competition as it comes. It's something that I can't complain, bro. You know what I mean? I do get turned up for training. I get turned up for games, and I get turned up, you know, whether I win or lose, it you know, we could still be talking about it in the locker room in training, you know what I mean? Just because it is what it is. You want to win, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all boys. It's like, for example, like Sean Johnson, if I'm you know, let's say we're playing 5v5 and something like that, and I'm busting his net, and I'm just scoring on him, and I'm talking smack to him, and I win, I'm celebrating that win because I earned that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And if he makes that big save or whatever, like, he's gonna let me know. You can't get past this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's those are the things that really keep you in check, and you need to be able to know how to manage those emotions. And some players don't, and they're the best players in the world. And some players do, and they're amazing. But it's really about how you go about things. But that competitive edge for me is probably the number one thing. It's always been, oh yeah, he's going hard no matter what it is. So
were there any particular either derbies or matches or any rival teams that got you kind of hyped up a little bit more than others, whether it was maybe playing against Seattle, maybe playing against Red Bulls or whatever?
It was probably Seattle. Seattle versus Timbers. Timbers Seattle was always you know, you had that feeling. It was you knew it was a derby, you know. Yeah. You prepare the whole week. The result that happened the week before, it doesn't even matter. You scratch that, you know, whether you won or you lost or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole week, you're preparing for that, you know.
Right.
The fans are preparing for that. The fans are lining up at the stadium 3 days before the game even starts, you know what I mean? So you know it's real. And I had battles with my boys. I had battles with Eddie Johnson, with Alonzo, with just different players. You know, you're out there competing. And
but even if that's your friend on the other side, especially a derby, as historical,
you know,
for those 90 minutes,
it
you don't care.
It doesn't matter. You don't care. You're saying whatever it is that you have to say.
Can you use something that you know about them? Like, yo, you trash at the cookout. You know what I mean? Like, you hit him a little bit.
Bring it out.
Yeah. You got to hit him. You hit him with personal facts. Yeah. But nah, it's you have that different spark in a derby, especially when it means that much. I remember I scored against Seattle at home. And gutting the fish is basically you know, an expression. So mm-hmm. I scored and I went in, and it was the last goal of just seal the game, and I went and I was just like gutting this this raw ass celebration. Yeah. I was like, yeah, and the fans went crazy. So to this day, it's like, yeah, like Rodney Wall is gutting the fish. And some people were like, oh my god, like, it's so offensive, like, it's a knife. And I'm like, I'm not holding nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not holding nothing. I'm just I'm being gully, you know what I mean?
So
it was that's one of the good celebrations, good moments for us in the Timbers locker room, for sure.
How is it from Seattle fans? Is there still tension with them or you, or is it now that you sort of haven't been in that situation over there?
I was in Seattle for the MLS Cup, and it's respect, you know what I mean? They'll
because you played well against them, so
they'll
I'm sure
talk,
respect.
They'll talk, they'll say something to you, but they're not disrespecting your mother or something like that, you know, at least not that there in public. But
I mean, yeah, it's not, they're not Costa Rican fans, it's a Prisa.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could whistle.
But they respect it because everybody respects the derby. You respect that Pacific Northwest, that whole vibe. You know, Vancouver,
Cascadia,
Portland,
right?
The Cascadia thing is, you respect it. At the end of the day, it's like, oh, I remember that goal, but whatever, like, pure class or whatnot, you know what I mean? But you also have to know your opponent, and Seattle has had many, many victories over us, and we've beat them, and it's gone back and forth in the playoffs. Is that 2013 playing away? I remember Ryan Johnson scored the first goal to start the series, and in Seattle that fire lights up after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But actually, it might have been it was when they scored, and I was like this close to the fire, and I was like, oh, that shit almost burned my face, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, it's stuff like that makes the MLS exciting. You know, having Timber Joey at the game with the, you know,
it makes it different.
It just makes a difference because people see that and people say, you know what, that's the atmosphere that we want. But it's nice that teams like the Timbers are setting the tone, and teams are packing stadiums like that. So that's exactly what
this day and age, the game is that's what it's about. Entertain and the quality of the game. I mean, it's more than just the players on the field now. You know what I mean? To be honest, it's like you got it's a whole package, and that gets the players going.
Can we be a part of that?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are the full. You are a package.
We got or something. It's a package you shouldn't open. Someone left it in the mall.
We should talk about what's going on now. I know you were playing with Sporting Kansas City and dealing with some injuries. And then also, we should talk about this that's on the table right now.
Rewind.
Because I've been, you know, if anybody follows Rodney Wallace on Instagram, the CBD is strong.
We're starting to see why you're so chill.
Okay. It's all making some sense. So let's talk about a little bit what's going on and the CBD company that you started.
Yeah, so no, I started Rewind CBD. It's THC free CBD. It's high premium. I have come up with something that I personally believe it's helpful for the players because of what it did for me. So I wanted to come up with a product that, you know, was gonna represent our culture in the best way possible without having to worry about the drug test and the doping and the, you know, the stigma of CBD. Like, I wanted to get away from all that and say, you know what, I'm gonna make the cleanest, purest product out there, and I'm going to do it for them, for the rest of the players, for the rest of the people. I wanted to make something that was going to make them feel how I felt when I was going through my injuries. And I mean, honestly, this has been life-changing for me. It's given me a much better quality of life.
I was just gonna say, like, it's wild. I don't know much about CBD, but it's like every time I've ever used it, it's like one of those things where you don't know if it's working. I can't tell anything. But I don't
probably know. Because you haven't been using the right product.
Okay. I remember.
Maybe you should rewind and use the right product. I remember the first time I used it, I was like, I don't think it's working. My wife's like, you're laying on the couch with your foot on the top and you've watched the same cartoon three times. I'm like, I think it's working.
Mom, but the thing about this is it lets you know what you're putting in your body. This is the game changer. It's basically the QR code right here on the back of the bottle, and you just scan it. You put the code from each separate badge, and it tells you exactly what you are putting in. So there are no secrets, no contaminants that you have to worry about. It's pure, and it's exactly, it speaks for itself. And what I brought you guys here, it's the lavender eucalyptus bomb.
Smells nice.
So,
hey,
is this the open one? Yeah.
All right.
It really does. It makes a difference, and it's made a difference for
myself. Smells like that one friend
myself.
You had in high school. You know what I mean? He was like, "Are you carrying?" He's like, "No." Unless you want. No, it's, I'm kidding.
Stop playing with my.
No, it does smell like. It smells like. No, I'm messing with you. I like how you matched it too. No, you know what it smells like? It smells like a high end spa.
Okay. Ooh,
you like know that. What I mean? Because eucalyptus to me is like a spa.
Yeah.
It's smooth. It's good. It really does make a difference.
And for especially players that deal with a lot of injuries, you can imagine that players deal with this stuff all the time where they're like, oh, you know, like their homie from the hood is like, oh, you injured? Like, you don't need to see a doctor. I know somebody.
Yeah, the hood doctors. Don't do that. You don't need that.
Street pharmacists, if you will.
And that actually takes away all that.
The necessary need
all
for
All those
that, yeah.
problems, you know what I mean? It actually could reduce any problems that you could encounter with whatever you're taking, whatever they suggest you take. So I suggest you guys go check out Rewind by Rodney Wallace.
Spelled exactly how you would expect, R-E-W-I-N-D. So, and what I love about this is you have the QR code on the back. You know, as this industry continues to grow, you know, this is almost now considered almost like a byproduct of like the legal weed industry in a lot of places like California and Colorado. It's like, oh, we have all the CBD. Like, we have the ability to have all the CBD. You're never really sure you know where you're getting it from. You never know if it's, there was a lot of cafes in New York that were saying like, oh, we got CBD smoothies. And then it turns out they actually weren't putting CBD in there. Yeah, you know what I mean? So you don't know. You have a QR code. It's like, nah, son, you got, like you check the, it goes to the transfer market. No, like where you guys, like it's the back of your card.
No, it goes exactly to the facts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The back of the card, like your expected goals. per 90, right? They got it for the CBD.
Yeah, no,
the QR code takes you to MLSsoccer.com.
Matt Doyle breaks down. the tactics of each CBD.
This is impressive, yeah. Bro.
Look at the heat map on that one.
When it comes to players and let's say without CBD, what would players do to try to deal with nagging injuries? I can imagine in soccer, I play soccer once a week, occasionally.
And your knees are just shot.
My back, my knees. I'm like, I don't know. Am I doing this right? You know? How would, outside of like the physios, what would players kind of do to just kind of maintain themselves?
Well, you have to... you have to take care of your body. You have to either, whether it's diet, whether it's exercise, whether you're doing Pilates on the side or yoga or whatever it is that you're doing, you have to do it, like I said, for yourself. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Just to stay in good form. I think that stepping away from the training facility and all that, at the same time, you have to stay in some sort of shape. You have to stay in a certain routine in order to get those results.
Is there any player or maybe something you did, any routine that was super weird, like the weirdest one you ever heard from like a professional soccer player?
Like, remember when like NFL players started doing ballet?
Oh no.
Because they said it would make you limber? Is there anything you used to do?
No. I mean, there's a lot of weird things that I used to do. But we won't get into those. But
you know what? We'll get to that when we get back after this. I also want to say iTunes needs to go, because right under our podcast logo is Clean Lyrics, which no, it ain't. Nah, not only do we not have lyrics, ain't nothing clean about it.
We're also inventing words like Drilladelphia.
Drilladelphia. All right, we're back, baby. That's a throwback clip. You were asking me where I got that? I got that in 04. That's right, yo. Macy's Herald Square downstairs. And then Diddy wore it the next day at the NBA dunk contest. And I was like, yo, I got me a good one.
Shots to my old boss.
Yeah, right? So Diddy must have seen me wearing it while he was shooting up the club with Shine. Anyway.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So, Rodney. Oh, God, I hope I survive. Whatchamacallit. So, obviously, you're staying in great shape, right? You're talking about this stuff, how that certainly helps you get over injuries. You've had some surgeries and stuff. Do you want to tell us what's going on right now with your career a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about it, obviously you do. No, went through a pretty hard time last year just in regards of injuries, and I'm in a space right now where I'm recovering from those injuries, so I have to really focus on me right now and take care of what I have to take care of in order to really live a better life in general. I mean, having two hip surgeries it's not the easiest thing to recover from, but I'm getting there, and it's something that Rewind has been something that has basically opened my eyes to a complete other world. So that's just keeping me busy, and it's
motivated.
I wouldn't say it's a grind, because I'm having fun with it, and yeah. Rewind it's running on its own, and I'm doing things naturally, organically, and it's filling me in a different way than the game just filling me up. So, it's interesting, because now I'm in this predicament, you know, I'm doing the rehab for my hip. But at the same time, I'm taking care of this Rewind, and Rewind is really blossoming and taking care of my family and I in many ways. So it's interesting. It's one of those things where I have to think about the big picture, but I am in a great place because I'm able to spend more time at home with my family, and I'm able to get great workouts in and really focus on what I have to do to get back into the shape that I want to get back into. And Rewind has been the ambassador for all that.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it. You're smiling in your Instagram photos.
Possible. Yeah, I wouldn't say like I'm you know, I'm not, it's not like I'm not doing anything. I'm personally enjoying my life to the fullest.
Yeah. I'm gonna rub this on my whole body, man. We'll be right back. We got more.
So you're gonna shower with
hey,
it.
Hell yeah. Maybe you smell it. Yeah, like eucalyptus.
So what?
And we're saving on the water bill. Watching the Cooligans, they gave us a TV show.
What? Why? A ridiculous decision.
This has been amazing.
So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And what are we?
The Cooligans!
I'm John Strong.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Meg Linehan.
And I just kicked it.
And I got goalie.
And I got that bag.
With the Cooligans.
Would I say that they showed me the respect that I deserve? No.
We got goalie with the Cooligans.
Get out of here. Oh, you guys!
Hey, oh, my God. I'm going to cry in front of Rodney Wallace.
Oh, my God. What a pizza. I'm going to rub some rewind on these ducks.
I didn't expect to get so sensitive in front of an MLS Cup champion.
By the way, happy 6 months.
Thank you so much.
50th episode.
Yeah, that's second awesome. Trimester.
And we haven't been aborted yet.
We didn't even realize it was the 50th episode.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Thank you,
incredible.
Everybody
you,
Fubo. At Fubo Sports for putting this together. Yeah, man, what a fun way to wrap a show.
Yeah, but we still got a little bit of time. We obviously got Rodney Wallace. How's it feel to be with people who got 50 episodes?
6 months in, you guys look good. You're
yeah,
shit.
Nice. We did. I did lose a little weight since that first episode too. Thank God. You know what I mean? Because once I saw me on camera sitting on the couch, I was like, oh,
oh, oh no,
camera had 10 pounds. They got special cameras. That had apparently 50 to 60 is from what I think. Maybe we should get those compression lenses, at least for the one that just goes directly to me.
No, I'm glad we were. I'm glad we made it this far. I'm glad we were able to be joined by Rodney Wallace. Make sure you check out Rewind and pick some up. www.rewindbyrodneywallace.com and pick up some CBD.
Check it out, that's man. Right. Check it out. World yourself. Record holder for longest URL. That's Rewind by RodneyWallace.com. You didn't want to put your middle name in there?
I don't think government status in there.
Just let your other soccer friends know we're going to get you. Want to roast them if they come on the show
as
well.
Yeah, they got a little light roast. Light roast.
But we're here to have a good time. So, Rodney, thank you again for joining us, man. I hope you had a good time as well.
I had a blast with you guys.
Where does this sit, playing for your national team and scoring on your debut and being on the show? Which did we bump them yet?
I mean, the fact that I'm here on the 6 month anniversary, 50th episode, it's up there. I mean, it's pretty special. Let's go.
I'll take it.
Make sure you follow Rodney on social media. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow Fubo Sports.
Leave a 5-star review
to the YouTube channel. And leave a review on iTunes. So with that said, for Rodney Wallace, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!